B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Pei Beis. We're going to start the middle of the Omud, the beginning of a new Perek. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Mishtatfin B'tchumin. We've learned about a number of different types of Eruvins. One of them is an Eruv Tchumin, where a person acquires residence 2,000 amos away from where he is now, when Shabbos comes in, and he acquires residence there by some food representing him. Or he could go there himself, 2,000 amos away from the city, and acquire residence. And then, since that's the center of his residence, he has 2,000 amos to walk around that spot during Shabbos, and not 2,000 amos around where he was otherwise at the beginning of Shabbos, around the city. Now, what happens if you have a number of people who want to have a collective Eruv Tchumin, a whole group of people who want to use the same Eruv Tchumin? Ketzad mishtatfin b'tchumin. If you want to make a communal type of Eruv Tchumin, how does one do that? Says the Mishnah, maniach es echovis, he puts down whoever's representing the people who want this Eruv to become valid, puts down a barrel with the food in. Va'omer, and he says, harei ze l'chol b'nei iri, that this barrel is, I'm designating it to represent all the people in the city who want to use or going to need to use this Eruv. And who are those people? L'chol mi sheyelech lebeis ha'ovel, somebody who wants to go to the home of an ovel. And this is a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis, whether one does Nichum Aveilim on Shabbos. But either way, if people are going to be Menachem Ovel, to console people who are mourning, and if those people who are Aveilim, who are in mourning, are 4,000 Amos away from the city, and you can't go there on Shabbos, so they would make an Eruv Tchumin halfway line. That means 2,000 Amos away from the city, they would make Eruv Tchumin, allowing them to go another 2,000 Amos and reach the people. Oyle Beis HaMishter, or if he's going to Mesameach HaChosen, which is also a mitzvah. So those people who need to utilize the Eruv for these mitzvahs, then the Eruv is designated for them. And we're going to see in the Gemara whether the Eruv has to be designated exclusively for people who are going for a mitzvah, or whether anybody can use such an Eruv. V'chol shekibel olov mib'oid yom. And the posh pshat in the Mishnah is, any person in the city who is mekabel, he accepts upon himself, and he chooses, mib'oid yom, from before when Shabbos comes in, he chooses to allow his place of residence to be where the Eruv is, he agrees and consents to the Eruv Tchumin, mutter, for him, the Eruv will be valid, and he'll be able to go 2,000 amos beyond where the Eruv is. Misha Techshach, if, however, he only was mekabel, he only accepted the Eruv as an Eruv after Shabbos came in, Osir, at that point he can no longer rely on the Eruv is not valid for him. She'ein ma'arvin Misha Techshach, because the Eruv has to be valid before Shabbos comes in, or as Shabbos comes in, but once Shabbos is in, it's too late to make an Eruv Tchumin. Continues the Gemara, says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yosef, Ein ma'arvin elo ledvar mitzvah. Rav Yosef was coming to tell us a chiddush. You only can make an Eruv Tchumin if you're using it for an Eruv, for a dvar mitzvah. And Rashi says that the Chachomim did not allow people to go outside their original Tchum, relying on Eruv Tchumin, unless they were doing so for a mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, Maika Mashmalon, you Rav Yosef, what are you coming to teach us? What element of Chiddush is here? Tanina, read our Mishnah, and you'll see that's exactly what it seems to say in our Mishnah. L'chol mi sheyelech lebeis ha'ovel, oy lebeis ha'mishteh. That the Eruv is valid for those who are going to a home of mourning, or to be mesameach ha'chosen, those are mitzvahs. So the Mishnah clearly says that the Eruv is only valid for those people. Says the Gemara, no. I may have thought, the truth is, maybe anybody can use an Eruv Tchumin. And the Mishnah speaks about people who are going out of their town, relying on this Eruv Tchumin for a mitzvah, just because that's what a person would commonly go out of town for. A person wouldn't change his place of residence and say, my base of residence is not my home, is someplace 2,000 amos away from the town. Person would only do that if he wants to go out of the town to do a mitzvah. Otherwise, his base would be where he is. But I may have thought that if somebody would choose to use an Eruv Tchumin to go out, even not for a mitzvah, that would be okay. Komash Malon, that's what Rav Yosef is coming to say, that no. Ein ma'arvin elo ledvar mitzvah, you're only allowed to use the Eruv Tchumin for a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. From the fact that the Mishnah said that in order for the Eruv to be valid for any particular person, he has to have been mekabel, he has to have accepted upon himself and decided that the Eruv is going to be an Eruv for him before Shabbos comes in. Shomus mino, we can deduce from this Mishnah, ein brera. The concept of brera, which is a retroactive clarification, that's what brera would mean. From the Mishnah, it seems that ein brera, de'i yesh brera, because if the Mishnah would hold that in this context a retroactive clarification would suffice, tigli milsa lemafreya. Why can he not decide on Shabbos that he wants to use the Eruv? And then we'll say, demib oidyoim havenichale. And we'll say that it's now become apparent on Shabbos that retroactively, before Shabbos came in, this is what I wanted. I just didn't make it clear. I didn't express it then, but Breira says that you can express it later and it will apply retroactively. And from the fact that the Mishnah says that you have to be kibel olav mibo'idyoim, you have to, from before Shabbos, have decided that this is your Eruv, you see that we don't use Breira in this context. Omer Vashi answers the Gemara, hoidi'uhu v'loyu hoidi'uhu katoni. It's true that the version of our Mishnah says that you have to have been mekabel olav, you have to have decided before Shabbos that you want this to be the tchum. But what you have to understand from the Mishnah, and maybe Rav Ashi had a different version in the Mishnah, that it doesn't mean that I have to decide. No. I need to be knowledgeable before Shabbos that the tchum was actually made. I don't need to decide whether I want to use the tchum till whenever I want. I can do that even on Shabbos, because yesh brera, because I can retroactively clarify that that's what I meant when Shabbos came in. But you can only say that retroactively that's what you had in mind when Shabbos came in, only if you knew when Shabbos came in that there was a tchum there, that there was an Eruv there. If you didn't even know that there was an Eruv tchum in when Shabbos came in, no clarification or decision later will retroactively apply to when Shabbos came in. Because on what is the clarification applying to? If I knew there was an Eruv Tchumin, and I just didn't clarify explicitly till later on that I want that Eruv Tchumin to be valid for me, then we say that if you hold of Brera, then I will later express a clarification that will apply retroactively. But it has to apply to my knowledge that an Eruv exists. And that's what the Mishnah means. If this particular person knew that the Eruv Tchumin was put there before Shabbos came in, then he can clarify it at any point. But if he did not know when Shabbos came in that there was an Eruv Tchum in there, then no amount of clarification later will help, and he cannot rely on the Eruv Tchumin. Continues the Gemara. And we're moving on to another sugya. Omer Vasi, Koton ben Sheish Yoitza be'eruv imoy. And here we're talking about, normally we know that if a person wants to use an Eruv Tchumin, then either he or an agent of his has to put down an Eruv Tchumin, and then this person will acquire his residence where the food of the Tchum has been put just before Shabbos came in. What's with the little child? Let's say that the mother of the little child puts an Eruv Tchumin. Does she also have to be mezakeh? And we've learned about that previously. Does she have to make sure that the Eruv is placed for the child as well, or does it suffice that it's placed for her, and her little child is just considered an extension of her? And therefore, whatever her Eruv is, so is the child's Eruv. So Rav Asi says, Koton ben Sheish, even in the sixth year of a child's life, but is Yoitza be'Eruv Imoy, he does not need his own Eruv. Wherever the mother's Eruv is, that's where his Eruv is. That's the opinion of Rav Asi, that even in the sixth year of his life, he's still an extension of his mother. Meisve, this seems to contradict the Braisa. Koton shetzorich le'imoy. There's a concept called a child shetzorich le'imoy. He needs his mother. So the Braisa says that, and we'll soon see what age is considered tzorich le'imoy, but whoever is tzorich le'imoy, yoitza be'eruv imoy. The Braisa doesn't give us an age. The Braisa says that it's a stage of development. Tzorich le'imoy. Then if he's tzorich le'imoy, then indeed he does not need his own Eruv, and he's an extension of his mother. V'she'ein tzorich le'imoy. However, when the child has developed enough that he no longer needs his mother, ein yoitza be'eruv imoy, then he cannot rely on his mother's Eruv. An Eruv has to be made for him, and if an Eruv is not made for him, then wherever he is when Shabbos came in, that's his place of residence for Shabbos. And And this braisa doesn't tell us any ages. Utnan. So we're now going to try and find another Mishnah that uses the same concept of tzorich le'imoy. Utnan nami. We learned regarding sukkah in the Mishnah. Gabi sukkah. Kihai gavna, a similar concept. Koten shet ein tzorich le'imoy. A type of child who's developed enough that he does not need his mother anymore. Chayev basukkah. He's chayev to sit in the sukkah. Midrabonon, we are chayev to educate him, to mechanech him with the mitzvah of sukkah. The Havinon Bo, and the Chachomim were discussing what age is called Tzorich Le'imoy regarding Sukkah. When we understand that, we'll also know regarding the Braisa what's called Tzorich Le'imoy, and then we'll know with what age he needs his mother, and we'll see whether it conforms with what Rav Asi said or not. Ve'ezeu Koton She'ein Tzorich Le'imoy. Who's called a cotton that no longer needs his mother? That means from what age does he not need his mother anymore? Omra Deber of Yanai. Rav Yanai said, "Kol shenifne ve'en imay mekanachtoi." As long as he's old enough that he relieves himself and he does not need his mother to clean him, that's enough of an. That, at that point, he no longer needs his mother. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omar, "Kol shenir ve'en kere imo." Any child that wakes up and doesn't cry, "Mommy," he doesn't need his mother anymore. That's not called tzorich le'imoy. And by the way, the Gemara says, "Imo sol kodaitoch." Do you really mean that tzorich le'imo is all the while that a child says mummy when he wakes up? G'daylim nami koru. Even the older children, they wake up and they cry mummy. And they're definitely not considered eina tzorich le'imo. Elo eima kol shenir mishnosoi ve'eina kore ima ima. Now what we meant was, what Shimon ben Lakish meant was, if he wakes up and he cries consistently and doesn't stop, he says ima ima, mummy mummy, until mummy comes, that's a child that needs his mother, tzorich le'imoy. If he no longer cries till his mother comes, that's eino tzorich le'imoy. V'kama, what age is this? What age is eino tzorich le'imoy? Kvar arba, kvar chomish. Already in the fourth or fifth year of his life, he's already no longer needs his mother. And depending on his development, whether the fourth year is already doesn't need his mother, or the fifth year he doesn't need his mother. But one thing is clear, that the sixth, that everybody agrees that the fifth year he doesn't need his mother anymore. And the sixth year, certainly not. And Rav Asi said clearly that even the sixth year, he can rely on his mother's Eruv. According to what we learnt now, Tzorich Le'imoy is till the end of his third or fourth year. And that means from his fourth or fifth year, he no longer needs his mother. And therefore, according to what we just saw now, then a child from the age from his fourth and fifth year would no longer be allowed to rely on his mother's Eruv. And this is not like what Rav Asi said. Omri B'Shua B'Reidur of Idi, B'Shua B'Reidur of Idi answers as follows. And there are a number of different types of answers he could have answered. He chose this one, and he clearly meant that he doesn't hold of any others. So don't ask us later that when we see differences in the Gemara later about different ages, don't say, why did the Gemara not explain Rabbi Shua B'Reidur of Idi? Rabbi Shua B'Reidur of Idi only holds of this differentiation. That what? Ki ka'omer of Asi, he says the truth is like in the Braisa, and Rav Asi agrees with that, that what's called Eino Tzorich Le'imoy is till his, is from the fourth and fifth year. Is Eino Tzorich Le'imoy. The fact that even on the sixth year you can rely on the Eruv, it does not mean that he follows his mother's Eruv. No. If you don't make an Eruv for him, then he does not follow his mother's Eruv from the fourth or fifth year. Over here we're talking about where the mother did make an Eruv specially for him. But there was a little hitch here. His father also made an Eruv specially for him. He was in his fifth year or in his sixth year. And now both parents made an Eruv for him. So even though normally we don't need his consent, if a mother makes an Eruv for him, we assume that he follows his mother. However, here, where we have the father and the mother both making an Eruv in different places, now we have to try and understand, where can we assume that he probably wants to belong to? Does he prefer his mother's company or his father's company? So, Kika Omer of Asi, Kagoin Che'irev Olav Oviv Letzofen, his father made an Eruv 2,000 Amos to the north of the city. Ve'imoy Ledorim, and his mother made an Eruv 2,000 Amos south of the city. The Afilu Barashesh, even in his sixth year, Nami Batsavsa de Ima Nichele, he still prefers his mother's company than his father. And since his mother made an Eruv for him, therefore he follows his mother's Eruv. And then According to Rabbi Yeshua, Breider of Inti, Rav Asi is not talking about the age that he doesn't need an Eruv. No, the age that you don't need an Eruv, and by default, you follow your mother's Eruv, is indeed, like in the Brisa, only the third or fourth year, and not beyond that. Says the Gemara Meisei, we're going to bring another Brisa. Koten shetzorich le'imoy, a child who needs his mother, yoytze be'eruv imoy. Then, as we said before, this rule is true for everybody, that if he needs his mother, he's an extension of his mother, and the mother's Eruv applies to him, ad ben sheish, till the sixth year. Let's assume till that at this point it means till the sixth year, means right to the end of the fifth year of his life. And that's clearly not what we just saw now. According to Rabbi Yeshua, Breider of Idi, he says that even Rav Asi and everybody agrees to what we saw before in the Brisa, that from the year 4 or 5, the fifth year, everybody agrees the fifth year is not called Tzorech Le'imoy. And here we have an explicit Brisa that says that the fifth year is called Tzorech Le'imoy. Tiufta de Rabbi Yeshua Berav Idi. Tiufta. This is a refutation on what Rabbi Yeshua Berav Idi said. Rabbi Yeshua Berav Idi explained that the reason that Rav Asi is not contradicting the Brisa, that Rav Asi who says that even the sixth year follows his mother, and the Brisa says that from the fifth year he doesn't follow his mother. What did Rabbi Yeshua Berav Idi say? That Rav Asi agrees, and everyone agrees, that from the fifth year he doesn't follow his mother's Eruv. And Rav Asi is talking about when his mother made an Eruv specially for him, but his father also made an Eruv, as we saw before. But now you see clearly, the Brisa says that in the fifth year, he follows his mother's Eruv, and you don't need to make an Eruv for him. So it's clearly not like Rabbi Yeshua Berav Idi said. But is this Brisa also a refutation against Rav Asi? Rav Asi said that even the sixth year he follows his mother. And in this Brisa it says, Ad ben sheish, which means the fifth year, not the sixth year. Says the Gemara, no. Amar lachor Rav Asi ad v'ad bichlal. The Brisa, when it says Ad ben sheish, it doesn't mean until the beginning of the sixth year, just including the fifth year. It means until the end of the sixth year. Okay, so now all we're left to still work out is the two Brisas. In this Brisa, it says that the child follows the mother's Eruv until the sixth year, including the sixth year, or excluding the sixth year, but definitely till the end of the fifth year. And we had the Brisa before that said, by Sukkah, we had Rabbi Yannai and Rish Lakish, who both explained that a child only follows his mother is only tzorech le'imoy till the end of the fourth year at the most, maybe even the end of the third year, but at the most till the end of the fourth year, not till the end of the fifth year, certainly not till the end of the sixth year. So why are the two Brisas not contradicting each other? Asks the Gemara, le'imot evet yufta de Rav Yannai v'Rish Lakish. Can we assume that this Brisa that explicitly says the child follows his mother's Eruv till the sixth year is clearly a refutation against Rish Lakish and Rav Yannai and Rish Lakish, who say that till the end of the fourth year is how long is called Tzorech Le'imoy? Says the Gemara, no. Loi kasha. Ha de isya avui b'masa, ha de loi asya avua b'masa. Says as follows. When the father is in town, then the child is somewhat less dependent on his mother. So there the Brisa says, according to Rav Yannai and Rish Lakish, that till the end of the fourth year, that's as long as the child needs his mother in any case. From the end of the fourth year, if his father's around, he's no longer called Tzorech Le'imoy. However, and that is the Brisa of Rabbi Yannai and Rish Lakish. This Brisa that says till 6 years, which we said, according to Rav Asi at least, is including the sixth year, which is another 2 years, the whole fifth year and the whole sixth year, that they follow the mother, that's talking about when his father's not around. A child whose father is not available, he is considered Tzorech Le'imoy, even till the end of the sixth year, according to Rav Asi, and everything is miyushev. And as we said before, the Rashi discusses here why, according to Yeshua Breider of Idi, we couldn't use this logic to differentiate, and why could we not use this logic to differentiate when we're trying to discuss Rav Asi. Either way, Rashi discusses that, but this is the basic reading of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. This is Brisa number one. In Brisa number one, we learn Ma'ariv Odom al Yedei Bnoi Ubito Yaktanim. If you have a son or a daughter, and they are minors, they are ktanim, you can make an Eruv for them. When it says al Yedei, it means for them. On their behalf, you don't need to tell them. We'll soon see whether you have to tell them, but you can make an Eruv for them. Al Yedei Avdei B'Shivchose Aknanim. Or if he's got a slave or a maid, non-Jewish ones, then they also, you can make an Eruv for them, bein ledaitom, bein shelo ledaitom, irrespective of whether they are knowledgeable about it or not, whether we do not need their explicit consent, and you can make an Eruv for them and it's binding for them. Aval einim ma'ariv, but you cannot make an Eruv, lo yal yedei avdu v'shivchoso yo ivrim, if you have a slave or a maid who are Jewish, they're from Israel, then you cannot do it for them. Or if you have a son or daughter that are above bar and bas mitzvah, at that point they decide on their own, and you cannot make an eruv without their consent. And nor can you make an eruv for your wife elomidaitom, unless you have their knowledge and consent. Tanya idoch. Now we're learning brisa number two. Lo ya'ariv odom al yedei b'noi u'bitei agdoilim v'al yedei avdei v'shivchosu y'ivrim v'lo ya'al yedei ishtei elo midaiton. This so far is the same as the second half of the first braisa, that you cannot make an eruv for these people we just mentioned without their knowledge and consent. Aval ma'ariv hu al yedei avdei v'shivchosu aktanim v'al yedei b'noi u'bitei aktanim bein midaiton bein shlei midaiton, and this is the same as the previous braisa, the first part of the braisa. Why? And here this braisa adds on a reason. Why can you not make an Eruv? Or why, more accurately, why can you make an Eruv for, on behalf of his B'noi U'Bitei Aktanim or Avdei V'Shivchosei Aknanim, even though they do not give explicit consent? Mipnei She'yodon K'yodoi, because they are considered as an extension to his hand, and what he does applies to them as well. V'kulon, in all the above, it means we mentioned five cases. We mentioned B'noi U'Bitei Aktanim. We mentioned Avdei V'Shivchosei Aknanim. Avdei V'Shivchosei Ha'ivrim. B'noi U'Bitei Agdoilim. And Ishtoi. Those are five categories. V'kulon She'irvu. If any of these five people made their own Eruv, V'iriv Alein Rabon, and their father, master, husband made also an Eruv on their behalf. So now you have a conflict between the Eruv they made themselves and the Eruv that was made on their behalf. Yoitzin b'shel rabon. Then in all of these cases, at least the reading we have now, in all these cases, the dominant Eruv is the one of their masters, their husbands, their father, not their own. Chutz min ha'isha. Besides for a woman, for the wife, b'pnei she'yichayla limchis. Because she's got the right to make a mechor. She can say, I don't want your Eruv. Since she can say, I don't want your Eruv, so she, if she makes her own Eruv, she can follow her own Eruv and not her husband's Eruv. Asks the Gemara, Isha Maishna. What's the difference between the woman and the bon of Ubnois of Hagdoilim or Avdei V'Shivchosei HaIvrim? In all those cases, you cannot do it without their consent. So, of course, they can make a mechor. Why is the wife different? And in all three of those cases, we should say that if they make their own Eruv, that their Eruv overrides the Eruv of their masters. Omar Rabba, Isha V'chol de Domilo. You're right. When I said the wife, I meant the wife and all those that are similar to the wife, which is Bonov Ubnois of Agdoilim and Avdei V'Shivchosei HaIvrim. In all those cases, if they make their own Eruv, and the husband and the master, husband, father, makes an Eruv for them, their own Eruv is the dominant one. However, in the case of the B'noi B'lit of Aktanim, or Avdei V'Shivchosei Aknanim, in there we say that if they make their own Eruv, and their master's father makes an Eruv for them, then the master, the father, is the more dominant one. Omar Mar. Chutz min ha'isha m'pnei she'yichayla limchis. The Braisa said that the reason that the woman, and we said just now, it's not only the wife, it's also B'noi U'Bitei Agdoilim and also Avdei V'Shivchosei Ivrim. The reason that if they make an Eruv and their masters make an Eruv, that their own Eruv is the one that they follow, Taima D'mochi. It's like, because the Braisa says, She'yichayla limchis, because she can make a mechor. She can say, I don't want. So the only reason that they can make then an own independent Eruv and not rely or not follow the Eruv of their masters because they are making a mechor. They are saying no. Ha'stama. What happens if they don't say no? They just keep silent. It would seem from the Braisa, Nafka b'debailo. Then let's talk about the wife. If she doesn't say no, it would seem that she follows her husband. If her husband makes an Eruv for her and she doesn't say no, she follows her husband's Eruv. Hoktoni reisha elo midaiton, but we said explicitly that you need explicit consent. It's not good enough that you're silent. So there seems to be a contradiction. On the one part, it says that a woman can make a machah, and the other part it says that she actually has to consent. So what happens if she doesn't make a machah and doesn't consent? It seems to be conflicting views here in the Braisa. It depends, each line in the Braisa seems to say something else. So Katon Yoresha Elomidaito, my love, to Omri in, from the beginning of the Braisa, it seems to say you need their consent, which means they have to say yes. It's not good enough that they don't make a machah, says the Gemara. Loi. Answers the Gemara, no. My Elomidaitchem Midaitom Deshtiku. That these three cases of Bnoi Bita Agdoilim, Ishtoi, and Avdei V'Shivchos Ivrim, they don't, when even though it says that it has to be Midaitom, they don't have to say yes. It's enough if they're just quiet and they don't say no. To the exclusion of a case where they say no. If they say no, that's called Limchois. Since they can be Meicha, then they can also then make their own Eruv, and if their master's made an Eruv, then their own Eruv overrides the master's Eruv. Says the Gemara. V'ha, and now the Gemara is trying to deduce from a different word in the Braisa. V'chulon she'irvu v'irev alein rabon, yotzin b'shel rabon. The Braisa speaks about a case, if the master makes an Eruv, and they themselves make an Eruv, then we say in all the cases, ustomahu, and over there it doesn't say that the people that it was made an Eruv on their behalf, they made a machar, that they said no, ustomahu. It just says that they made their own Eruv, and their masters made an Eruv. Uktonium, we learnt in the Braisa, chutz mino isha, besides for the woman and those that the wife and those that are similar to the wife, that in those cases the wife's Eruv overrides the husband's Eruv. And deloy nafki, that in the case of the wife, if she makes her own Eruv and her husband made an Eruv, or in the case of Bnoi Bita Gdoilim, that they made their own Eruv and their father made an Eruv for them, or in the case of Avdei V'Shivchos HaIvrim, that the Eved or Shivcha made their own Eruv and the master made an own Eruv, in all those cases, their own Eruv overrides. Even though, when the master or the father or the husband made an Eruv, they didn't say no. So you see from here that it's enough even if they don't say no. Or rather, even when they didn't say no, nonetheless, they follow their own Eruv and they don't follow the husband's Eruv or the father or the master's Eruv. Omar Rabbah's Rava answered as follows. Kiven she'iruvu ein lecha michui godel mizeh. He says, you're right. The Braisa doesn't say they actually stood up and made a macha, which is what we deduced from the end of the Braisa, she'ichoy lo limchis, that until she doesn't get up and make a macha, it's as if she consents. No. Says, you're right that if she's just quiet and doesn't make a macha, it's as if she consents. But if she doesn't make a macha, but she gets up and makes her own Eruv, there's no macha bigger than that. You don't need to scream and shout and say, I don't agree to follow your Eruv, which she could do that. But if she just makes her own Eruv and totally ignores her husband's Eruv, then there's no bigger macha than that. And therefore, it's as if she was Meicha, and therefore she does not follow her husband's Eruv, and therefore her own Eruv is the one that counts. Demiurz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to start the next Mishnah.